We're back. I say that a lot on this program. You know that?
You love to say that.
Like two or three times. No, I don't. I'm trying to get out of it, but it's just like ums and all these things we try to teach ourselves when we're using radio or the broadcast waves to get to the people out there. Folks, by the way, while I think of it, we are sharing the burden. We're live. I'm your host, Scott Duncan, and my guest is Gary Henry. I just want to say that 102.9 FM has given us a lot of opportunity, but there's a lot more opportunity out there around the same subject. In other words, we can share this far and wide, you know, by using the internet. First of all, you can look up whistlefm.com.ca, or you can go to 102.9 FM Stouffville, search it, and you'll find how to connect so that you can listen live from anywhere in the world as long as you have the internet. And on top of that, at the end of each week, we've taken this broadcast, we've recorded it, we've turned it into a podcast, and then we house it on the website at either stbradio.ca or sharingtheburden.ca. And you'll find not only this broadcast after the end of this week, but you'll find previous ones, and you can go back as far as you want it. And the reason I say, you know, to maybe have a look at those is, even if there's nothing on any particular show or broadcast that sounds as though it's very meaningful to you, it could be that secret that somebody somewhere has to hear if they're going to make it through the day. And we never know who that person is, where he or she is. We must get out there and tell our stories. And folks, if the internet's good for something, that is probably the best thing it can do, and we can use it, utilize it to our advantage and to the advantage of people out there. And by the way, we're charity talking here. We're not people who make money. So when we ask you to share, it's not so we can be heroes or get more hits. It's so we can save more people's lives over a period of time, and that's what it's all about. So anyway, Scott at sharingtheburden.ca, if you ever want to dispute, discuss, come on the radio. I'm the guy you have to find. Gary's the guy you have to find to keep you in shape so that you can get away with this stuff, though.
Well, hey, Gary? No, you can't. Now, yes, I'll get you in shape, but not the way he's saying it. I don't beat people up. I build people up. Right? Isn't that right, Scott?
Well, absolutely. I mean, you can tell by the muscles on my neck. Anyway, Gary, yes, tell us a little bit about the fit for the call, in that it means more than what people would think by hearing it. In other words, you look at the person, you've told me, and you try to see the character more than what's coming out of their mouths and that sort of thing. The saying we just left you with before the last break, you know,
so
you speak what you are, speak so loudly.
I am I'm a professional fitness trainer. And so people who know who I am, they right away, they think this is all about fitness. Yes, it has a lot to do with fitness, but it has a lot to do about spirituality, knowing who I serve, who we serve, who loves us. So I sit down, if anybody wants to work out with me, anything like that, we got to go through an interview process, if you want to call it that. I like to know your history, where you're coming from. Why do you want to work out? Why do you want to lose weight? Why do you want to gain weight? Just simple questions, because a lot of things that people have been carrying for a long time, and that weight is not necessarily a weight, a physical weight. It's on the inside. And so people eat for comfort, and they gain all this weight. Everybody has a story. So not every program is the same program. I can't train you the way I would train these ladies. I need to know what their history is. Like you go to the doctor. I have to give you the right prescription, so to speak. But in between that, as we're working out, I'll be speaking to you in a way that you, not preaching, but reaching to you. Because, like you said, I don't know where you're coming from, but as I listen to you, because listening is important, so that way I can speak into your life. Not Gary Henry. As the Lord speaks to me, I speak to you, and I give you that, what he's giving me. Now, I say that it's happened here in Canada, it's happened in the US, and it's still going. The way how it happens is beyond me, but through intimacy, that's what happens. That's what happens. So It's an amazing thing because everybody needs this. Everybody needs to be loved in a special way. And the thing I love about the ministry is this, that many people don't go to church. So what I do, it's without walls. I was saying to somebody, you know what? The gym is actually people's church. They don't know it, but that's their church.
If you're the guy leading it.
Well, you know what? You gotta be nice.
You're a preacher, even if you're a reacher, I'll tell you.
Wow. You know what?
What?
People do ask me at the gym, they say, are you a preacher? Are you a pastor? And I'm careful to answer yes, and I'm careful more not to say no. But I gotta be real. Yes, I am. And so when they see me, hey, pastor, or they call me preacher man, and I say, okay, man, these guys are really playing with God. I said, you know what? But Gary, that's who you are. We all have gifts. I can't do what you do. I can't do what these ladies do. Mm-hmm. It's impossible. But when we come together, it makes something unique.
Yeah.
That's the difference. It makes something unique. Hmm. I call it unite and ignite. One flame.
Yeah.
A big flame. You know, right?
Yep.
It's about taste and see. I know these girls can cook.
Mm-hmm.
We can maybe get some Christmas cake. I don't know.
I'm saying, how good you are there, Gary.
You know, I am good.
You better get it soon, Gary.
So, yes, you know, I have fun doing what I'm doing because I love to impact lives.
Yeah.
And it's what brings tears to my eyes is, you know, when different people send me messages, you know, what our sessions meant to them. And over the years, what it's meant to them. And I don't just, when I'm working with them, I'm actually learning from them as well. I'm learning their perseverance. I ask myself, well, how did you get through what you went through all those years? Because when you look at somebody's life, when you hear somebody's story, it should impact you. Mm-hmm. You can learn something.
Yeah.
Everybody has something that they've come through. Nobody is on this earth that didn't go through something. It's impossible. But if we can take something from somebody's story, my gosh, it's going to help us go that extra mile.
And every story that's not only your own
exactly
is worth sharing too.
It's worth sharing.
So it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and wider and wider and wider. And that's where the internet really, let me read you something here. Just about intimacy and, you know, something that probably holds back a lot of people out there, and I think it's probably important. So it says here, intimacy issues can be intimidating, especially for those of us who grew up in dysfunctional families. We may not feel safe to reveal our true selves to anyone. We may be afraid that if we're deeply intimate with others, if we let them into our hearts, they would reject us once they really knew us. We may find prayer intimidating for some of the same reasons. And then it references some scripture, but further on it says, you know, the biblical word translated no, K-N-O-W, is also used to describe sexual intimacy.
Yeah.
Now, I don't bring that up because the two are diametrically opposite or together or anything else. I'm just trying to say that when you're trying to talk about intimacy, those of us who are married and so on and in proper relationships, whatever that means to you people out there, we know that that kind of intimacy trumps everything else. So that was very powerful for me this morning. I thought, you know, if that word means that to the writer or to, you know, God, if you believe that he gave the writer that that word, then intimacy is far greater, far deeper, far more profound than anybody just looking at the word would think. So I thought that was a great part. Also, it says here, if we're afraid of knowing or being known, which is the title of this sharing, knowing and being known, if we are afraid of knowing or being known deeply by God, I would say by anybody as well, we'll want to avoid connection, which in the case of the godly connection would be prayer, I suppose.
Yes.
And yet it is those of us who are intimate with our sense of God who will have the strength to do great things.
Yes.
We're safe to reveal our true selves. And also to people, not just to, you'll notice in the, one of the 12 steps it says we, admitted to our God and to ourselves and to another human being.
Yes.
The exact nature of our wrong. So wherever we went astray, you know, people would say, well, if you really believe anyway, well, God knows everything, why would you be talking to him or her, you know? And I would say, well, because, you know, my program booklet, which for me is scripture, the same as yours,
yes.
Gary, it says that I have to build a relationship, and to build one, I have to be connected, I have to talk, I have to, you know, however I communicate. So I'm going to do that because I'm told to, and otherwise, to be honest, the way I believe today is that if there's an almighty whatever, and I believe there is, then that almighty whatever, God in our case, knows everything, is able somehow to step outside of time, to look back at everything, every life and every situation, every creation, every ruination, and also to know every little increment of that whole. So it's like looking at a life or all of life from outside of time, so that there's no passage of time in that view, because from that view or that perspective, the end, the beginning, the middle, and all the happenings in between are there.
Mm-hmm.
So if that almightiness really knows all of that,
mm-hmm.
I'm part of a script that's already mm-hmm. written, okay?
Mm.
It's written, it's been there forever, according to scripture anyway.
Yes.
It'll be there forever and nothing's going to change that.
That's right.
Therefore, my concern as a human being would be, well, that being the case, and I happen to believe that because mm-hmm. I've researched it so many different ways, what is the point, you know? What is the point of me? And I think a little more, and somebody would say, well, your same scripture says you have free will
mm-hmm.
to do as you please. And I would say, yeah, I do. And so do you. But if there is an almightiness, a power as great and knows it all, saw it all, sees it all, and so on, that power actually must have written the book.
Amen.
Like the whole book, the whole story. And everything in it. Therefore, even if I have free will, do you think that power didn't know what I was going to do with that in order to complete the book? And now being able to look back on that book and see it as complete, seeing you and me and all these ladies and everyone else as perfect, simply for some decision they may have made somewhere along the way, the way some of us believe. But that being the case or not, they look at it and they see that we're supposed to be seen as in a godly way, so that we're seen as perfect too.
Mm-hmm.
And we would say, well, I would say, well, that can't be me. I'm too far from that in every respect, you know. So being that far away and not feeling like that, how does that make sense? Well, it's because this entity, this almightiness, supposedly can look into things and see the end result. And the end result of his creation in total or in part or in whatever at some point comes together in perfection, right? That would mean, and I'm part of that, so somewhere along the way, I must come to perfection too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in this part of the journey, the next part, the one after, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's true, then, you know, and this entity can only see what's honest in that, that's our destination. That's pretty good destination, isn't it?
Yes.
So, you know, with that, there's everything I believe in a nutshell, and that's why I go to church every week. Or not. Anyway, Gary, that's a big one. So where do we go from here? Tell us what you think along those lines. And for this poor person who really cannot be intimate because of fear of rejection. That was my biggest problem in life.
Well,
I was worried about rejection.
Well, you know, I believe that's something we deal with is the fear of rejection. Or if we tell people who we really are, then, you know, they're not going to like me,
yeah.
Or whatever the case may be. But we all need somebody to talk to. I mean, that's where our relationship, calling out to Jesus and saying, hey, this is how I am. This is how I feel. Can you please help me?
Mm-hmm.
Because the people that you think are going to be there for you, they don't end up being there. It's happened. And I'm speaking from experience. But then there's those people who are there that you can speak to. And even sometimes it's even hard to say what you're going through.
Yeah.
It's not an easy thing.
Yeah.
And, But if we could not judge or try not to judge, we're always going to judge. But we've got to look below the surface before we judge as to why is this person acting this way? Why did they do that? Why did she say so? Or whatever the case may be. It's not an easy thing. It's a hard thing.
Can I cut you off?
Sure you can.
Sure you can. Only so we can take another break before we run to the end of the program.
Touché.
And, you know, and think. Think about sharing and when you share the problem or who you are at any moment. Is it always shareable? Will you share it? Or do you let things build up a little before you come and share things? So hang on to that, and we'll take a break. And I don't know if we're going to pay some more bills. More than likely. And folks out there, help us do that.
We'll be back shortly. Shopping.